The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill, he's Ewan Cameron. It's episode 85. How you doing, Ewan? You all right?
I'm very good, Stephen. It's nice to see you because normally we work together on a Saturday afternoon, but you weren't working with me on Saturday because you were on a flight to Amsterdam and then a boat from Amsterdam to...
Back
to where, though?
It was Newcastle. And then driven up the road.
So on Friday you fly.
Friday night, yeah.
You fly to Amsterdam.
Yeah, from Edinburgh.
From Edinburgh. You then have the night in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
On the Friday.
And then...
All day Saturday in Amsterdam.
Well, until about 3:30, 4:00.
And then you make your way to the boat.
Yeah, then we get on the boat. And then the boat sets sail at about 6:30. And we arrived about 12 hours later in Newcastle.
And then you have to drive from Newcastle up the road.
I didn't drive, so...
Don't think you were in any shape
I wasn't in much state to drive yesterday, but I was driven up the road, and it was very good.
We're talking about Boogie in the Boat. Now, Boogie works on 4th One on The Breakfast Show, and they have this big get-together with listeners on a boat where they head to Amsterdam and then they come back again. Is there much gossip?
There wasn't much gossip, to be honest with you. It was actually very good. Lots of people asking about the podcast. Lots of people saying... How do you work with Ewan Cameron every week?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I do get that a lot.
I think a lot of people are quite jealous of the relationship that we have because a lot of people would like to be who you are and be my pal.
Yeah.
And hang out with me and chat
with
me.
Well, if you keep telling yourself that, I mean, if that makes you
feel better. It's clearly true, mate, because you're very keen to do the podcast with me. And
I don't know how this happens every week, right? So, obviously, we're on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the full podcast shebang, basically.
Yeah.
You can listen to it on any podcast outlet. But we also broadcast live, or not live, but we broadcast on YouTube as well.
Yes.
You can watch back to the full thing. And every single week, look at the state of that camera on me. Why does it look like...
Oh, my God.
I've been in a furnace. You look fine. Like, speak.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at me.
I look totally fine.
I look fine. This is
and then
who
look
I am.
At me.
Yeah.
But every single... I don't know what that camera's doing to me.
I know. You do look a bit weird in that. It's a colour tone and everything, isn't it?
But how does it change?
It's too much contrast in that camera.
But genuinely, John, producer, how does this change?
Look at the state of you.
On a weekly basis.
Look at the state of you.
The cameras are set at the same for both you
and
me.
No, they're not.
They're clearly not.
I'll take a picture and I will show you it.
Well, something's gone wrong because you have to adjust it every single week.
Right, let's have a look at
Yeah, I mean, John, you need to go and fix this here because anyone watching on YouTube will think that I've been in some sort of fire over the weekend.
What if I turn off this light? Hold on.
No, I don't.
Don't speak to count to 10.
1, 2, 3.
Well, that's better.
Yeah, no, but then we're sitting in perpetual darkness.
Hold on. Right.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, that's better.
Right, okay, so we just need to switch some lights off.
We switch up. You're sitting under basically a panel light.
Right, okay.
That's much better.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah,
that's
good.
Much better. Right. And anyone watching on YouTube will agree with me that I look much better now.
Yeah.
Okay?
So we need to turn the lights off.
Takes more where I like to do that.
Yeah, the darker it is, the better we look.
Right. Okay, that's fine. We can now move on.
Yes, can I talk about my weekend?
Yes, you can. What did you get up to? Because I actually haven't spoken to you this weekend.
I shaved my balls. I'm going to explain. It's not what you're thinking, you filthy git. I was watching something on Facebook. And you know when you get a hoodie or joggy bottoms?
Yeah.
And after a few wears and a few washes, you get those little balls that attach themselves to the material.
Yeah.
What would you call those balls? Bobbles?
Bobbles.
Material balls. And it kind of goes bobbly. And it looks quite tatty.
Yeah.
I shaved those balls off my joggy bottoms and my hoodie with a Gillette Mac 3 and it worked a treat.
So you spent the weekend shaving your clothes?
The balls off my clothes.
Yeah, okay.
All my hoodies and all my tracky bottoms, I shaved them all and they look like they're new.
How long did that take you to shave all your clothes?
No, there's only certain areas within a hoodie and within the joggies. Like the joggies, like the ass bit.
Yeah.
So you do
get a wee bit bobbly
there because you're sitting on it and the material's rubbing and everything.
Right.
So I shaved my ass.
Right.
The balls on the...
You shaved your balls in the ass, yeah.
Yes, and they look brand new. They look like brand new. I mean, I would...
And this all came from a hack on Facebook.
It was a Facebook video, and I thought I'm going to give that a go, and I just sat myself on my bed with my hoodies and my joggy bottoms, and I shaved them.
I spent
about an hour shaving my tracky bottoms and my hoodies, and they look brand new. I shaved this hoodie that I'm wearing now. Look how good that looks. I shaved all the balls off it. So I did that on Sunday, spent about an hour doing that while my wife took the dog for a walk. And I'd like to make a recommendation. Can you put my movie music thing on, please, mate? Can you do that? Cheers, bud. It's another Netflix recommendation.
Are you working part-time for Netflix?
No, but I've watched a bit of Netflix recently, and I would like to recommend a documentary. It's a musical documentary. It's called The Greatest Night in Pop.
Okay.
Have you seen this advertised?
No.
It's only just come out in recent weeks, and I cannot recommend it enough. It is the story of January, of a night in January 1985. Music's biggest stars. Do you want to know who's in this?
Oh, is this for Live Aid? No.
No, We Are the World.
Right, okay. So that was the Michael Jackson one, was it?
Yeah. So you've got Lionel Richie, Bob Dylan, Quincy Jones, Cyndi Lauper, Bruce Springsteen, Huey Lewis, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Kim Carnes, Diana Ross... who else? You got Smokey Robinson, Kenny Loggins, Kenny Rogers, Dionne Warwick, Ray Charles. I mean, Tina Turner. They're all there. Mm-hmm. So this is a story.
We are the world. We are the children.
We are the world. We are the children. So this is the archive footage of what it was like getting 40 of the biggest megastars in America together to record. So, we are the world. We are the children. It is a fascinating insight into how they got them all together. And I'm going to tell you how they did it without giving too much away.
Right.
So how do you get 40 of the biggest stars in one room to record a song? It's really difficult.
I think I know the answer to this.
And it was going to be very expensive. So how do you think they did it?
Well, they made it for charity, so that obviously would negate some of the cost.
No, wrong.
Really?
Wrong.
Okay, right.
How do you think they did it? Because
did they just start with somebody?
No.
And go,
no.
Oh, by the way, Michael Jackson's doing it, so you need to do it.
No, so you're right in a way, because it was Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson who wrote the song.
Right.
So they called up Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder then calls Bruce Springsteen and then calls Kenny Rogers, like a domino effect.
Yeah.
But how do you get 40 of the biggest stars who are touring, they've got other things on, all to turn up on the same night to record We Are the World in a studio? How do you do that? They did it in the space of 4 weeks. So they came up with the idea, and he thought, we need to get the song written and ready to go in 4 weeks' time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the night of the American Music Awards in Los Angeles, where most of the stars would have been. So at the end of the American Music Awards, they all had to leave at midnight to go to the studio in LA. And then they stayed there till 8 in the morning, all 40 of them. And there was arguments, there was bickering, there were fallouts, and because obviously there's egos.
Mm.
Loads of egos in that room. Michael Jackson's there, Stevie Wonder's there. They're all there. Bruce Springsteen, they're all there.
I think we know who's there by
right.
this
thing. So they're all there. And do you know what Quincy Jones does? Quincy Jones, one of the best music producers of all time.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a pen, a marker pen, he takes an A4 bit of paper, and he writes on it, "Leave your egos at the door for them arriving." And he puts it on the door to the studio.
Well, that clearly didn't work.
No. And what was fascinating about it is that the camera's rolling throughout, so the producers and the director of the documentary have gone in, they've taken all this footage, and they've created this amazing documentary about how these stars came together tonight to record this song.
And in keeping with your usual theme on this, we don't need to watch it now.
So no, you do, because I didn't. I haven't told you about Diana Ross sharing a burger with Kenny Rogers.
Right, well, you just have. So.
But you don't know what happens with it. Somebody wasn't happy with the order that came in.
Right, okay.
I'm not going to tell you who wasn't happy with the chicken dippers.
Right, okay.
There was somebody who didn't like the chicken dippers.
Well, that's fine then.
And Michael Jackson didn't eat.
Maybe he wasn't hungry.
He was just stood in the background watching everything go on. Because he did his bit solo earlier.
Right, okay.
Anyway, I'd watch that. That's really good. It's the greatest night in pop. And see, when you're watching it, shave your joggy bottoms and your hoodie with a Mac 3.
Very odd. I started watching Fallout at the weekend.
That's the Prime thing.
So this is on Amazon Prime, and it's about it's based on the game Fallout. If there's any gamers listening, it's a sort of post nuclear apocalypse type thing. So
is it any good?
Yeah, I watched the first episode. I enjoyed it. I'm going to keep
watching. My boy watched them all in one night.
All right, okay.
He couldn't turn off because he was a massive fan of the game.
Yeah, I've never
played
the game.
And he highly recommends it, so I might go and watch that.
Right, thank you, as ever, for all your correspondence that's come in over the last week or so. Remember, you can always leave your comments on YouTube, and it's at Big Football Scott. That is our Twitter feed. You can get us on Facebook and Instagram as well. Just search for the Big Scottish Football Podcast. On the Big Shootout quiz last week, Gordon says, why did you not get the option to have a top bin question for his fifth question? Stephen was two up after four. If Ewan had got the top bin question and Stephen failed to answer question five, it would have been a tie. Ewan Cameron.
I have no complaints about last week's quiz because we both got the same questions.
Mm-hmm.
That was why there was no top bin question needed.
If you go back to watch last week's quiz, you'll notice that we didn't mention top bin questions at all.
No.
We usually do that at the start of the quiz.
Because we got the same questions.
But because we got the same questions,
yes,
top bin was not a thing last
Correct.
Week. I'm pleased to tell you that the quiz will be back to normal this week,
yeah.
And it will be five questions for you and five questions for me, top bins and all the rest of it. And it's all on football. OT1 saying the same thing. Ewan bumped in the quiz again as he could ask for the top bin question. Scott RFC, Jambo Bear screwed again. 4-2 to Celtic cheerleader Stephen after four questions. Jambo Bear could have got a top bin question to draw if Stephen had got his fifth wrong. Scott, wrong on quite a few accounts there. Chris, has Ewan been done again in the quiz?
No.
Surely one question. Yeah, same top bin stuff. Someone else saying Stephen needs to start the quiz on -1. Jambo Bear has no chance, especially when they're out to get him from the get-go. I mean, that's just bollocks.
But see, they can see and hear that there is a vendetta against me.
You just said there was no problems with the quiz last week.
But he's talking about in general. He's talking about in general in the history of this quiz. There is a conspiracy between you and producer John to make me look like an idiot.
No, last week's quiz as a sort of experiment.
Yeah.
You made it an out of yourself.
Okay, here's what I would suggest, right, when it comes to the points that are being made by many of our listeners, and there's lots of them who are making the same suggestions. I think we should maybe handicap Stephen for future podcasts, because I think you two are in cahoots, and nothing will change my mind on that. And another thing I'd like to suggest as well is that every single quiz that we've done up to this point is null and void. We're now into the split for the season, and I think we start afresh.
Oh, like they do in the league then? So that's everyone on 0 points. So Hearts 1 point after the weekend?
I'm just saying. I don't know, John. Just to make it interesting for the last 3 weeks or so of this podcast, do we just forget what's happened in the past because I have been screwed over?
I think
And we start afresh today with a new quiz, 0-0. I concede that I wasn't very good.
Well, I think Grant sums it up well here. It's not a conspiracy, Ewan. You're just not very good at the quiz, and that's why you lose the vast majority of the time.
So
you keep changing it, and it doesn't change anything. You still can't win, and you go in the half like a five-year-old when you lose. Well done again, Stephen. Like, you have changed the quiz.
Have you got a burner account on YouTube?
No. You have changed the quiz, its rules, its setup, to try and weight it in your favour, and you still can't win.
Right. If you're that confident, what's happened in past quizzes, well done to you, right? You've won that lot. We're now in the split.
But now you just moan again when I win again.
Right, we're now in the split. Let's start 0-0. Let's make it really interesting. Well, it's like the playoffs.
How many podcasts have we got left this season?
Three or four?
Three or four.
We'll do three and then we'll do a review of the season type one. So let's say there's four.
Right, okay.
Let's start afresh now. 0-0. From today. You all right with that, John?
I'm quite happy with the playoff idea. I'm not happy that you're bringing me into some sort of conspiracy, however, Ewan. There is actually, me and Stephen are Falkirk and Dunfermline supporters. There is no cahoots. Absolutely no cahoots.
Well, everybody else thinks it, so I think they're right and I think I'm right. So are you okay with go start 0-0 today?
I mean, I'll win anyway. It doesn't matter.
Are you happy to do it?
Whatever.
Right, Ewan, can I just double check, however, because I did say, notice you mentioned that we'll get five questions each today. However, I've prepared five questions on Father Ted, as was specified.
I'm not ready for that yet. I've not watched enough episodes to be confident enough to do it.
You said you'd be ready for
that. Shut your mate, I've got a life to live, right, and I've got things to shave.
Right. Fair enough. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do what we did last week then, and we'll just have a straight shootout between
perfect.
You two. Yeah?
Perfect. I'm happy with anything.
Right, okay.
But it starts 0-0 today for the quiz.
Happy
we're
with
that. Back to even. Yeah?
So no top bin questions this week then?
No top bins, but we're 0-0 for the season from here on in. You've won that last that load, that first load.
Mm.
This is like the playoff. This is like winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Here we go.
Whatever, I'll just win that as well.
Let's do it.
Lots of people sending us songs this week.
Why?
So everyone's doing like a Euro anthem, and there's one that we've got. Have you got it, John? The first one here? I think we've got the...
I do, yeah.
Can we listen to it? It's got this. This is from Pepper Potts.
In the year 1314, on a wet and dismal day, a weary Scot named Robert Bruce was cold and in dismay. He'd lost so many battles and fled and hid away. But Robert learned a lesson that we remember still today. Inside a nearby cave, he hung his head to cry.
I think we've had enough of this.
Yeah, that's is that AI by any chance?
No, that's a genuine artist.
Yeah,
it gets into it. Like,
well, if at first you don't succeed, then try again.
Like the spider.
And now it's 2024, but the lesson's still the same. If at first you don't succeed, then try again. Yeah. We are proud. We are Scotland.
Special. We
are... Not having that.
No.
Okay, who's that?
The Pepper Potts.
Is that a genuine song?
I believe so.
Is that an actual band winner and written that?
And by the way, I'm not sitting here that I could do any better because I can't write or sing music. So
that sounds like something you'd heard in the 1700s.
But,
or even the 1400s or the 1200s or something. No.
Football songs on the whole are shite.
Controversial.
They are.
Did you know like...
Very few...
Did you know like... We have a dream, B. Robertson. A dream come true. And he pointed to me. And you took the penalty and you scored.
No, really. I thought it was well, but tough.
We're on the march with Ali's army. We're off to the Argentine.
But I mean, it's still like...
Yeah, do you know what? I hate to say this, but I think probably one of the greatest football songs of all time was the one that was done by not the Three Lions one, the other one.
New Order.
The New Order one is a great song.
It's a good song.
It's a really good song. I mean, even John Barnes does a decent job of rapping in it. I thought that, for me, was a really good pop song. And if it didn't have John Barnes, it didn't mention England in it, it would have been a really good song.
Yeah. I mean, but I think just in general, I think football songs have had their day as well.
Was that what you... So would you not want Scotland to have an official anthem this year for the Euros?
No.
I don't think we've signed a deal yet, have we, with anyone at the SFA? Has the SFA signed a deal with anyone like an Amy McDonald or a Callum Beat or a Franz Ferdinand or anything like that?
No.
We haven't?
No.
No. You wouldn't want that?
No.
No. Wonder what England will do.
Well, it's not really a thing anymore.
Remember Vindaloo?
That wasn't an official song. That was Keith Allen. And he wrote this song, and it just became a sort of unofficial
is it
anthem.
Fat Les or something?
Fat Les, yeah.
Fat Les and, yeah, Vindaloo.
Keith Vindaloo. Allen was in the video, Lily Allen's dad.
So you're not having it?
No, not having it. What I am having, though, is various songs for Ewan, because Andy, the photo doctor, has penned this song.
My name is Ewan, they call me Jambo Bear. I love Hearts and Rangers and I don't care. Tynecastle and Ibrox, where I love to be. In maroon or royal blue. With the Jambos or the chosen few. Oh, I love Rangers and I love Hearts. Going along Edmiston Drive in disguise, sunglasses on and hat pulled down. I adore the sons William and the cousins of William. I cheer from Tynecastle, but I long to be at Ibrox.
I am
the Jambo Bear.
I'd say there's a few things to work on that. Lyrically, there's a few things to work on there.
Is that AI or is that somebody doing that?
I don't know.
What's the name?
There's also a sort of GBX disco, or it's a disco remix, first of all.
Jambo Bear.
Jambo Bear.
When does it start?
Well, here it comes.
Oh, I like that. It's funky. It's got a bit of a 70s vibe to it.
That's good. That's right. Really good.
Let's hear the GBX remix.
That's, I really like that. In the land of kilts and tartan, there's a bear called Jambo. He's quite enchanting. He's the host of the talk. Football's his game, but when it comes to cooking, well, he's not the same. He can talk about goals, tactics, fame, but when he's in the kitchen, it's not his goal.
Those are brilliant.
So, thank you very much.
Do you know what? I mean, I don't like the Jambo Bear pish, right? Because it's boring me now. But see that? I have to take my hat off to whoever sent that in. Who's sent that in?
It's Andy. I think it's Andy the Photo Doctor. I think that's his name.
Well done, yeah. Andy. That's put a smile on my face. That's what football should be about. About having
AI
a laugh.
Remixes.
No, but that's the kind of thing. It brings us together, that kind of thing, and we can all have a laugh at ourselves and rip the piss. And yeah, I like that. Well done.
Okay, right. There you are.
I'm not going to complain about that. It was good.
At Big Football Scott, if you've got any AI-related songs about this podcast.
Can you imagine some of the things that people might put in AI?
So let's take a wee look back on the weekend. In first of all, the Scottish Premiership will start on Saturday before we get to the Sunday matches. Kilmarnock versus Hearts, 0-0. I guess it's sort of please stop doing that. It does, man.
Well, I'm going to keep doing this.
I don't do it. It's John.
I'm going to keep doing this until he stops stapling the papers together, because it's just a pain in the arse.
Right. That's the page we need.
Right, go.
So Kilmarnock Hearts, we'll start with.
Oh, Kilmarnock were so lucky, so jammy. Hearts obliterated them, annihilated them. We hit the bar, we hit the post. The goalkeeper, Mitov, was it Mitov?
No, because he's a St Johnstone goalkeeper.
Oh yeah, he was good. We'll get to him in just a second. Who's there? Who's the Killie keeper?
Well, you tell me.
Oh, who's the Killie keeper? What's his, is it Sells? No, it's not Sells. No, it's not Sells. Sells plays for Nottingham Forest.
Buffon. Is it Buffon? No. Taffarel?
Oh, you're at it. John, what's the keeper's name?
Will Dennis.
Will Dennis?
Yeah.
Also it is. Yeah, he had the game of his life. Mm-hmm. We were outstanding. Hearts were all over them. It was like 5-6-0. It should have been. They just couldn't find the back of the net. And even Derek McInnes at the end of the game was like, whew, we got away with one there. I'm delighted to come out of that game with a point. That's how good Hearts were.
Still 11 points clear in third place. Hearts will confirm third place this weekend, even if they lose to Celtic, if Kilmarnock don't beat Rangers. So Kilmarnock need to beat Rangers on Sunday.
Look at that stat. That's a good stat.
Kilmarnock are the only team that Lauren Shankland hasn't scored against.
Yeah,
is that this season or is that
just ever? Is that ever? John, you give us a stat. Just this season.
Just this season. Right. Okay. Well, I think that's an important thing to clarify, John. Because if you never,
right.
I think if you never like. I go away for a couple of days and you come back with shonky stats.
That's a good stat.
Yeah, but you need to say this season.
This season, because I thought it was forever.
Yeah.
No, they're just this season.
Okay, I like that other stat underneath it as well.
So Kilmarnock have gone 3 games without conceding and extend their league unbeaten run to 6 games.
That's good.
And Rangers are the only side to beat Kilmarnock in the last 19 league games.
That's a good stat.
And they play Rangers again on Sunday, so...
Yeah, Killie had a fantastic season, and I don't want to scare the Killie fans, but I think that Derek McInnes, he's taking Kilmarnock as far as he can. I think he'll be looking for a new challenge in the summer, and I'll tell you something else. See the boy Armstrong on the left?
Now,
he's too good for Kilmarnock. And I'll say another thing. If I'm Stevie Clark, I'm looking at Armstrong for Scotland.
There's chat that he might be getting called up for the Republic of Ireland because he can play for them as well.
We can't allow that. He's too good. He's 26. His best years are still ahead of him. He's got pace. He's got quality in that left foot. He scores a goal. He makes assists. See some of the crosses he was putting in at the weekend there against Hearts. Sensational. I'd love him at Hearts. Nothing against Kilmarnock. I think they're a great little club. And Derek McInnes has done a fantastic job.
Extremely patronising. So patronising.
Well, in comparison to Hearts, they are. They're a little club.
You were going to say tiny there, weren't you?
I changed my mind.
I don't think, obviously, I don't think even Kilmarnock fans would say that. Like, Kilmarnock are obviously a smaller club than Hearts, but I wouldn't call them a small club. It's not like some junior side.
There's a Killie fan in this building, Chris Herriot,
yep,
sales guy. And I was talking to him about Kilmarnock and Hearts, and I said, I would like what I'm just saying here. I think that Derek McInnes has done a fabulous job there, but that's as far as he can take them for a small club. And I mean, he was getting annoyed by some of the things I was saying, but I did say to him, I goes, if a Hearts or a Hibs come knocking on the door, he would quite happily jump in his car and drive to Edinburgh to take charge of those two clubs because they're way bigger, better facilities, better chance of achieving your goals than Kilmarnock. Now, yes, Kilmarnock had a great season this season, but you've got a better chance of achieving your goals and taking another step by going to a Hearts or a Hibs. You'll never get the Celtic or the Rangers job.
Do you not think he fancies down south? Something in the championship?
I think he's had his fingers burnt there and I don't think he'd go back down, but... Listen,
I honestly think he's obviously happy at Kilmarnock. Everybody likes him.
If somebody the
board support him. I think if he's going into the Hibs situation, for example, there's a lot going on behind the scenes there.
So this is the end of the season. It's the summer. He opens up the door and it's the Hibs owner stood there. The Hibs owner doesn't even need to open his mouth. Derek McInnes is going to go, yeah, I'm coming to Edinburgh.
Well, why did they turn down Rangers when he got the chance when he was at Aberdeen then?
He shat it.
Right.
He shat it.
Okay.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, but I mean, he's just shown in the past that he's capable of, you know, Aberdeen and the Rangers. Like, Rangers clearly a bigger job than Aberdeen, so why would he not take it based on your logic?
He'll take the Hibs job if he's offered it.
I don't think he's going to be offered the Hibs job because I think...
Okay, let's talk about Hibs then.
Because they won 3-1 on Saturday.
And they were very good.
And yes, it was St Johnstone, who are having a bit of a time of it at the moment. But Hibs looked really good. Could have scored 7 or 8 goals. Yeah. If it wasn't for the St Johnstone goalkeeper, Mitov, it would have been a lot more. I think, and I'm going to... This is a bold statement. I think Nick Montgomery and Hibs are going to have a good season next year.
Do you think Montgomery's in place for next summer? Next season?
Yes, I do. I think if he gets the summer transfer window to make a few more signings, I think it's quite obvious. I think defensively they need reinforcements there. I think with the new ownership, he'll probably get money to spend in the summer. And I think Hibs will have a good season next season. I think there are signs there that it's going to be a good year for Hibs next season. That's what I think.
They were outstanding on Saturday against St Johnstone.
And to be fair, I did say this a couple of weeks ago as well when you said Nick Montgomery's done.
Yeah.
I don't think he is done. I think it would be stupid for Hibs to get rid of him. They need to pick someone and back him. And I think he's got something about him. And he's shown at other clubs that he's got something about him.
Well, listen, time will tell. But what I will say is that Hibs were outstanding against St Johnstone at McDermott Park. Martin Boyle played one of his best games for the club in a while. Maluda, who I rave about every single week, again was a standout.
Marcondes, his free kick was incredible.
He gives the goalkeeper the eyes, and the goalkeeper takes a step to his left.
I don't think it matters. He could have been standing there and he wouldn't have saved it. It was just an unbelievable free kick.
So they've got the basis of a really good team there. Now, will Nick Montgomery be that person to take them forward? You seem to think he will be. I'm not so sure. I think it's 50-50. I really do. It will depend on how good Hibs are between now and the end of the campaign. They've got 4 more games to play. If they play like that in the next 4 games, it's a tough one to get rid of Montgomery. Mm-hmm. And if they can sort the defence out, because clearly up front they've got strength, they've got goals, and I think
there's something there. I think there's something there. I wouldn't be too despondent if I was a Hibs fan. I think there are signs that I think Montgomery knows what he's doing.
The Hibs fans want him out, though.
Not all of them. But I know some of them do.
Yeah.
Anyway, they won 3-1 on Saturday. St Johnston, meanwhile, not looking good for them. It's going to be a straight shout-out, pretty much, between them and Ross County for the relegation playoff spot. So St Johnston, 31 points with a minus 24 goal difference. The reason I'm saying that is Ross County have got a minus 26 goal difference, so there's barely anything in it. And they're on 30 points. So there's only a point between them. So St Johnston looked terrible on Saturday. Ross County also looked terrible on Saturday as well, away at Livingston. That's Livingston's second win in 26 matches, and means that they're not officially relegated yet. There are four games to go, 12 points up for grabs, and 9 points behind is where Livingston are just now.
Well, Ross County, who are second bottom, they've got out the remaining four games, three of them are at home, and they've got a good home record. So mm-hmm. Livingston are gone, right? So, yeah, they've delayed the inevitable for another week. Ross County, for me, will escape the relegation playoff zone, and I think St Johnston will drop in. Ross County have got three home games out of their four remaining games. St Johnston have got three away games out of their four remaining games. I think St Johnston are in a pile of doo-doo, and they're going to drop into the relegation playoff, but it won't matter, because whoever that will be in the playoff will beat whoever second, third or fourth in
St
the championship.
St Johnston play Ross County in the second last game of the season at McDermott Park.
That's their only home game out of the four. That's the only home game they've got out of the four. Listen, my biggest complaint about the weekend, Ross County, they are sensational against Rangers. Two weeks before the Scottish Cup. Outstanding. Three great goals. Deserved their victory. How'd you go from that to that pile of pish on the plastic pitch in Livingston? How's that possible? It happens all the time.
Oh.
See when Hearts pick up a decent result, whether it be against the Old Firm or whatever, or Hibs at Easter Road. The next week you're at home at Livingston, you end up drawing or losing it. Why does that always happen? That's why we can't maintain a challenge on the big two, because we can't follow up big results and we can't get consistency in our results or performances. Ross County, that's a disgrace. That's an embarrassment. What an opportunity it was for you to get yourself ahead of St Johnston out of the relegation playoff zone. You go to Livingston, who have won how many games did you say?
They've won 2 in 26.
And you get beat 2-0. And you get beat 2-0 comfortably. That's a disgrace and embarrassment.
Also, it was the SPFL AGM during the week. Do you know what wasn't on the agenda?
Plastic pitches.
Banning plastic pitches.
They've taken it off the agenda.
Yes, they have.
Because they're doing a study. I was not happy.
At least maybe if they push that back into the long grass, they can concentrate on things that actually matter.
And so, it doesn't matter, because see, when Livingston go down, they ain't coming back to the Premiership anytime soon.
Okay, elsewhere on Saturday, Aberdeen 1, Motherwell 0. We'll get to VAR WTF. Obviously, a very contentious red card in that one. Stuart Kettlewell was not happy after it, but a good win for Aberdeen. 5 unbeaten under Peter Leaven now. And they've taken 10 points off of Motherwell this season, which is 26% of their total points.
Good stat. Good stat.
Good stat, John. That's the sort of stats that we want. Clarified, clear, precise.
Yeah. No ambiguity or anything.
I did see lots of chat.
It was a shit game.
But I was going to say about the new manager coming in. I saw Chris Boyd having a wee sort of questioning query about why he wasn't coming in just now as opposed to waiting until the summer.
Michael Stewart and Tom English had an argument about it, and it's boring.
I know, but it's boring. Obviously, I missed this all over the weekend, but
it's boring.
I don't even see how this is an issue.
It's not an issue.
Like, why?
It's really not an issue, and people are turning it an issue when there's not an issue to be arguing about.
It's very commonplace.
Correct.
That this happens.
100%.
It happens all over Europe. It happens all over the world.
And he'll be watching from afar. He'll be getting the tapes, and he'll have an idea of what he wants and what he wants to change when he gets in on June the 1st. He'll have the full pre-season to plan ahead. He'll already be putting plans in place.
Yeah.
This argument that is going on right now is a joke, and I'm bored of it. And I think people are just creating controversy when there is none.
Okay, let's move on to the games yesterday then, and it was both 2-1 away wins for Rangers and Celtic. First of all, the earlier game was St Mirren 1, Rangers 2, and I believe it was 2 weeks ago on this podcast, maybe 3 weeks ago, that Ewan Cameron sat where he is right now.
Sharp.
And said that Cyril Dessers
Sharp.
Will not fire Rangers to the title. He scapegoated Cyril Dessers.
But you won't fire Rangers to the title because Celtic are going to win it, and I've stuck by that all Dessers season.
Dessers grabbing what I believe is his 20th goal of the season.
Yeah.
I look back on the stats. Remember I mentioned a couple of weeks ago about them, the amount of Rangers strikers that have scored 20 goals in a season since the turn of the century, and there's only about four.
And he's one of them.
And he's one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm talking in top flight, like I'm not counting when they were in League One and League Two and stuff. But Dessers scores again. And he scores what turned out to be the winning goal again.
I mean, you couldn't miss. I mean, James Tavernier.
Had to be there, right place, right time.
James Tavernier's cross is... It's delicious. It's a beautiful cross.
So you're going to sit here and say that Cyril Dessers, who scored 20 goals for Rangers this season in the league.
You can't win a league with him. You cannot win a league with Cyril Dessers.
Even with a striker that's scoring 20 goals a season.
Yeah.
Something that Rangers strikers haven't generally done over the last 25 years.
He should have 30 by now, and Rangers should be top of the league. Right. If he scores the chances it's created for him, Rangers are top of the league.
Do you not think you're being a wee bit unfair on him?
Not at all. And I think the Rangers fans would agree with me there. If he takes the chances in the games that mattered, when it's been a draw
it
or a defeat...
yesterday. If they dropped points yesterday, it was all over.
I'm talking about the other games where they've dropped stupid points. Ross County, for example.
Scored in a Scottish Cup semi-final. Scored twice.
Ross County, if he takes those two chances, it's 3-0 at half-time.
You can't just pick and choose what games matter.
Celtic game. The Celtic game, when they get beat 1-0, 2-1. And I could go on and on.
I know, but what you're doing here is...
You look at the Motherwell game.
You're just picking and choosing what...
No. I'm talking about the games...
Why does a Motherwell game matter, but the St Mirren game does matter?
I'm not, right. But he's done it... Okay, fair enough, he did it there.
When it matters.
Right.
But now you're just picking loads of games where he missed chances and you're like, but that mattered more.
Huge, though. When you look back over the course of a season...
That happens all the time.
There are key moments in every season where you think, oh... And there are a number of key moments in Rangers' season that involve Cyril Dessers when Rangers are either leading or drawing and he misses a golden opportunity to either A, get a point, or B, to get the win.
But there's also been lots of occasions where Rangers were either drawing or losing and Dessers has scored, like yesterday, and won them the game.
If he'd scored the goals that he should have scored...
If Cyril Dessers scored every single time had a chance, he wouldn't be playing with Rangers. He'd be playing in the Premier League.
Here's what I'm going to say. If he scores the chances that have been created for him, he'd be on 30 goals. Right now, he'd be sat on 30 goals, and he should be sat on 30 goals with the chances that's been created for him. Wait. And Rangers would be top of the league and would have the destiny... of the championship in their hands. And the reason they don't have the destiny of the championship in their hands is because Dessers isn't good enough to put away the chances when they really matter.
Right, so against Ross County, it was Cyril Dessers' fault.
Those two chances, 1-0 up, just before halftime.
None to do with...
two golden opportunities, 6 yards out, 10 yards out.
None to do with Conor Goldson or anything like that or...
No. At those critical moments in the game.
So it wasn't a critical moment when...
At those critical moments in the game, if Cyril Dessers scores one of those two chances, Rangers win that game comfortably and they're sitting level with Celtic at the top of the league.
But I mean, that
they're going to
strikers miss chances all the time.
Steven.
I think what you're saying is Cyril Dessers should just score every time he gets a chance. Now, obviously, yeah, of course he's missed chances. I don't think anyone's denying that. But I'm saying, over the piece, he scored 20 goals this season, which Rangers haven't had a striker that does that regularly over the last 25 years, bar about three or four people.
Steven, it's the ease of the big chances that he is missing. I would put Theo Bear in those positions that Dessers has found himself in. He scores those goals. The Motherwell striker scores those goals. He doesn't miss those chances. He doesn't miss those chances against Ross County 2 weeks ago.
He's got 20 goals this
season. Lawrence Shanklin doesn't miss those chances. Theo Bear doesn't miss those chances. Murray at Ross County doesn't miss those chances. I'm not saying for a second that Murray at Ross County is a better striker or a better player than Cyril Dessers. All I'm saying to you is that when it's handed to you on a plate to put your team in such a comfortable winning position where it could give you control of your own destiny and you miss those chances, they will come back to haunt you and bite you in the ass. And I think over the course of the season, it has come back to bite Rangers in the ass. If they had gone out in January and they'd got themselves a recognised goal scorer, and I listen, Shankland stayed amazing, and I was delighted with that. Or
Do you know the last time a Rangers striker?
I don't care.
Striker in the top flight scored 20 goals in a season. Do you know when it was?
Was it Boyd?
It was Kenny Miller in season 2010-11. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen very... Like, I just think that...
Do you think he's getting a hard time... Do you think that the criticism of him is over the top?
I think his all-round play is not very good. I don't think he's a particularly great football player. But he's been there and he's scored important goals like yesterday. Like a couple of weeks ago,
we'll agree to disagree. I think that Rangers will have never had a better chance to win the league than they have this season. They have screwed it up.
It's easy to scapegoat a striker when they miss chances, right? But on the whole, yes, he has missed chances, but he's also scored lots of goals as well. I think they should be looking further back at their defence and some of the defensive lapses that Rangers have had this season. Now, I get he's taken Conor Goldson out of the team and is. Like Clement's quote about Goldson yesterday was like mental.
Yeah.
I mean, he's clearly just dropped Goldson because he's been honking.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But, you know, I think there are other problems. If your striker's scoring 20 goals in a season, what more do you want? What more do you want? Celtic don't have a striker that scored 20 goals this season.
I think we'll agree to disagree on this one. I think Rangers, for me, have blown a golden opportunity to win the league this year. They'll never have a better chance. And I think that Celtic will get better next year and it'll be a harder job to win that league. I just don't see where Celtic lose this league with four games to go.
Well, yeah, put it this way.
Celtic have got a tricky game against Hearts at Parkhead.
The situation now, we'll quickly speak about Celtic, obviously beating Dundee with the same scoreline, hanging on a wee bit at the end.
Dundee were good.
Yeah, I thought
St Mirren were good as well.
I've been really impressed with Dundee this season, but 13 points out of 15 for Celtic. And in terms, here's the situation. If Celtic win their next two matches, they've won the league, right?
Yes, if Rangers win their two games and Celtic win their two... No, you're talking the Old Firm game.
Exactly,
yes.
So if Celtic win their next two games, which are Hearts on Saturday at Parkhead and Rangers the following weekend at Parkhead, Celtic have won the league.
Because even though Rangers can catch them, I think Celtic's goal difference
is much better. So yeah. The league is all but over if that's the case.
Correct.
However, if Rangers win their next two matches at home to Kilmarnock on Sunday and then away to Celtic the following week, then we're going down to the final day and every single goal will count, every single chance that counts, every single defensive lapse will count, and it's going to be a hell of a running. All I'm saying is, I think that you're being a wee bit harsh on Dessers.
Okay. So there's five goals of a goal difference just now between the two teams.
But, I mean, say Rangers go to Parkhead and win 2-0. That's it, wiped out. You know what I mean? Or go and win 3-1. Whatever.
I know what you're saying.
If Rangers win at Parkhead, it's all back on. And we've got a grandstand
finish
to the season.
Because what is it? It's there's four games. Rangers are at home to Kilmarnock on Sunday. Celtic are at home to Hearts on Sunday.
Saturday.
So that puts pressure on Rangers because then Celtic can go six clear.
Then Rangers play Dundee.
Where's
on
that?
Tuesday night. And on the Wednesday night, Kilmarnock are at home to Celtic. So Rangers are at home to Dundee. So that's after
the Old Firm
that's
game.
That's after Celtic-Rangers.
If Rangers were to win that game at Parkhead and then Celtic's next game is on the plastic on a Wednesday night in Kilmarnock, then obviously, you're right, it goes down to... A draw. It's good enough for them.
Well, I think Celtic know, like, two win. They're two wins from the title.
Yes,
Celtic are two wins from the title.
If
they win their next two matches, they've won the
title.
Can
I just say, Hearts have picked up 6 points against Celtic this season. Mm-hmm. We've played really
well.
Beat them
at Parkhead earlier on.
Yeah, and we played really well that day as well. We thoroughly deserved our victory. I thought Hearts were very good. I wouldn't rule out Hearts causing another wee shock this coming weekend, although Celtic will be red-hot favourites. And I thought they looked cagey yesterday at times. James Forrest, where's that comfy? I mean, his first goal, the volley was brilliant.
To be fair, James Forrest was, I think he won Player of the Year when Rodgers was there the first time round.
Yeah, yeah.
So he obviously can get a tune out of Forrest. And I didn't actually see the second goal, but the first goal was like a cracking finish.
Yeah. But I thought that both Rangers, I watched both games, I thought that Rangers and Celtic both looked nervy. And I thought Dundee and St Mirren were very good.
That's
why I think there might still be another twist somewhere. But I still think ultimately Celtic will win the league.
However, I think we can all agree on this. And I did see people saying this yesterday on social media and stuff. These are not vintage Celtic and Rangers teams.
No, definitely not.
And you can see that by what is going to be the points total as well. It's probably going to be the lowest points total for
a winner
winner of the league in quite a long time. Celtic they're grinding out results at the moment, and at this stage of the season, it doesn't actually matter how teams play.
Get the road,
just need to win. Same with Rangers yesterday as well, and Rangers have obviously bounced back after that like mega wobble against Ross County and Dundee and stuff as well. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. So Celtic 3 points ahead, five points ahead.
Would you still say Celtic to win the league?
I think because Celtic are at home to Rangers, they've got an advantage.
Yeah.
But again, like you, I think that there might be a wee twist this weekend. I don't know what that will be.
I agree.
Because Hearts have got a decent record against Celtic this season.
Kelly have been good with Rangers.
And they actually try when they play Celtic, obviously.
I'm
joking. But, you know, Hearts have got a decent record against Celtic this season. They've already won at Parkhead. And Kilmarnock, even at Ibrox, is going to be a tough game for Rangers. Yep. So I don't think that's a gimme either. And there has been a few occasions this season where Celtic have dropped points on the Saturday and Rangers have played on the Sunday and blown it.
They've not taken advantage.
So, Celtic have dropped points at lunchtime and Rangers haven't taken advantage. So I think you're right. This is going to be an interesting weekend. So it's first versus third and second versus fourth.
Brilliant.
This weekend in the Premiership.
Don't you just love it? I love this. This is so exciting.
It's always exciting when you get to this stage of the season. In the Championship, it's just about the end of the season. So the title officially is heading to Tannadice. We did call it on the show last week, though, before anyone else. And that was after a draw against Airdrie on Friday night. So that is fine. The playoff positions are all but confirmed as well. So Raith Rovers are going to finish second. They drew away at Morton 0-0 on Saturday. Partick Thistle are going to finish third. They've got a far superior goal difference than Airdrie. Even if they get beat on Friday night, Partick Thistle are going to finish in third and Airdrie are going to finish fourth. So that means Partick Thistle will play Airdrie away from home, first of all, for Partick Thistle, and then the second leg will be at Fir Hill, and then the winner of that will play Raith Rovers, and then who obviously finishes 11th in the Premiership. In terms of the bottom of the table, Arbroath done, gone. Queen's Park pumping them on Saturday by 5-0. And that means, because Inverness could only draw with Dunfermline, did have another penalty save. That is Dennis Memmott's fourth penalty save in a row as Dunfermline goalkeeper. Yeah.
What was the score at that point?
I think it was 1-0 to Dunfermline
when they got a penalty
and then they scored. Okay. Yeah. I was out of action at the weekend, so I didn't manage to catch it. So Dunfermline won, Inverness won. That means Dunfermline are officially safe. No problems with relegation playoffs. That means Ayr United are officially safe as well. So they've got nothing to play for, and the same goes with Morton. So it's all coming down to Friday night, and it's like this. Inverness are at home to Morton. They need to win and hope that Queen's Park do not win. And Queen's Park, let me just double check the fixtures. They are at Hampden, so they're at home, and they are playing Airdrie.
But will Airdrie save some of their players to the playoffs?
So, I mean, actually, a point might be enough for Inverness, or a point could be enough for Inverness. Because of the goal difference if Queen's Park lose.
Yeah.
But obviously you're not wanting to do that. So, but then again, if Inverness win and Queen's Park get a win as well, then it's out of their hands. So a win would be good enough if Queen's Park drop points, but it's in Queen's Park hands.
I think that Inverness will stay where they are in ninth. And I'm going to ask you, producer John, because you're obviously a Falkirk fan, you've watched a lot of League One. Do you see Inverness being troubled by any of the teams that are second, third or fourth in League One?
I don't think so. Hamilton and Senna are in good form, but Aloha have got some very good players on that side as well. But
so it's Hamilton, Aloha, and Montrose who are in the playoffs in League One. Montrose beating Kelty 2-0 just to seal that at the weekend, so a good win for them. Aloha got beat by Hamilton, as you say. Hamilton are on a decent run at this moment in time. And they'll be the favourites for the playoffs in terms of the League One. Yeah. So it'll be Hamilton taking on Aloha, and it'll be Montrose versus either Inverness or Queen's Park.
If it is Inverness, do you see them staying in the Championship, or do you think they'll drop into League One?
Do you know my concern about Inverness is they can't score. They look toothless. Totally, totally toothless. I watched them against Raith Rovers a week past Friday, and they had so many chances. So many chances.
Not got a goal scorer.
Dubrovsky had a couple of good saves, admittedly. But Billy Mackay has been a great goal scorer. But he seems to be playing a wee bit deeper now. I'm not entirely sure why. So I would be concerned if I was an Inverness fan. Very concerned. Because obviously, Montrose have got a free hit at them. Montrose aren't expected to beat Inverness.
No.
But, I mean, again, John, you know more than me because Falkirk have been in League One for quite a long time now. But Montrose are not a bad side.
No, they're a very good, well-drilled side. Stuart Petrie's done a fantastic job. I think he's the second longest serving manager in the league now up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got some very good players at Montrose, a very experienced side. And I don't think Inverness will fancy it against Montrose.
Yeah.
I mean, they've given a lot of teams trouble down there in League One.
Hamilton finishing in second place, obviously. So let's drop down into League One. Falkirk spawning their way to yet another draw on Saturday to keep this unbeaten run going against Annan. 3-3 at finish there. You're telling me, John, it's a straight shootout between Annan and Stirling to avoid the final relegation playoff place. It's at Forth Bank. So maybe that would make Stirling slight favourites. A draw is fine for Annan because they've got a far superior goal difference. Stirling Albion need to beat Annan on Saturday to ensure that they're not in the relegation playoff spot. So that's the only issue that needs settled there. Obviously, Edinburgh City, they are doomed and they're going to be in League Two. Cove, Kelty, Queen of the South, all safe now from that relegation playoff spot.
Did anybody see John Robertson's son playing for Edinburgh?
No, I did not. No.
Let's just say he doesn't look like the fittest lad.
Right, okay.
Going, and I don't know what age he is. And I don't know if this is a wind-up, but I did see pictures of John Robertson's son in an Edinburgh top playing for Edinburgh at the weekend.
I know that Edinburgh are just basically playing anyone at this stage of the season because they've lost most of their players. So
are they just like heading out the street and going,
"You'll do.
You'll do. I just throw a jersey on them."
Do you know a football player? Aye, that's fine. Right, let's get down into League Two then. Stenhouse Muir confirmed as champions, but let's hand over to our League Two correspondent. It's the president, Mr. Joe Biden.
Hey, Ewan and Stephen, can you believe Steny have now drawn 8 games in a row? That is a Scottish record. Get them on your coupon. It was 1-1 this week for the champions against Bon Erig, and the League of Draws served up another to with Dumbarton versus Elgin and Spartans versus Peterhead, both ending in Desmarais. Clyde got off the bottom as Jobby Kalsman beat East Fife, meaning Dick has been beaten 3 times in a row. Must be Red Raw. Stranraer now take their place after defeat to the Bridie Lovers, meaning it goes to the last game with Clyde away at Elgin and Stranraer away to the champions. Who will go down? Who knows, but I am here for it. God bless America and God bless League Two. See you on the flip side, gents.
See you later, Joe. Thanks very much for getting in touch again with that report. It's been great. Stranraer are heading for the relegation playoff as it stands. They need to beat champion Stenhouse Muir at home on Saturday to give themselves any chance. Bonnyrigg are safe, pretty much, unless they get hammered at home by Forfar. They've got a -5 goal difference. Stranraer have got a -17 goal difference. So they'll take a big swing for Bonnyrigg to get dragged in. Clyde, on the other hand, as Joe mentioned, are away to Elgin, whoever they are. And a point could be enough for them, depending if Stranraer win or not. So they'll be looking to avoid the relegation playoff, which will be against East Kilbride, because Bucky Thistle were deemed ineligible for that playoff. So Bucky Thistle winning the Highland League, East Kilbride winning the Lowland League, and Bucky Thistle were barred from taking their place in the playoffs.
But why?
because their facilities and their club does not meet the bronze medal standard for entry into the SPFL. Now, the funny thing about this is there are several clubs who are in the SPFL who don't meet bronze level standards. So it is a wee bit one rule for some and another rule for others. But I do think Bucky Thistle, whoever is in charge of their admin, has had a bit of a shocker here, because you can apply for an extension, like a grace period, and that would allow them to take part in the playoffs.
Got you.
But the SPFL are saying they missed the deadline for that, so therefore are ineligible.
So admin have screwed up.
Yeah,
there's politics.
There's something going on there, and I'm not entirely sure what. But Bucky Thistle will not be involved in the playoffs, so it'll either be Clyde or Stranraer who play East Kilbride for Team 42 placings. Let's move on to some refereeing decisions, shall we?
La gente está muy loca. What the fuck?
Okay, so nothing doing in the Celtic game yesterday, really. Nothing really much happening there. St Mirren Rangers. Todd Cantwell trying to take out the referee. I mean, just unbelievable. But no, nothing really happened there.
No, Nick Walsh took out Todd Cantwell, and I thought the referee should have been booked for that.
The ball boy being subbed as well after he threw the ball away.
Well, the referee wasn't happy with the ball boy. I think it was like 7-8 minutes into the game, and I think it's Tavernier who goes over to take
and
the ball.
And he chucks the ball away.
Chucks the ball away, and then the referee sends him off. I thought VAR should have looked at that. I thought
he's a bit harsh.
A bit harsh, I think. Yeah.
Yellow card. He did have a mohawk, though.
There's also the Jack Butland challenge on the St Mirren striker when he made the clearance and he got yellow carded for it. I don't think it's a yellow card in any way, shape, or form for that clearance. He's come out, he's clearly got the ball. Momentum means that there's going to be a clash there. I think that Nick Walsh has got that one absolutely wrong. It was a dangerous position where St Mirren had a cracking opportunity to score.
If it's a yellow card, they don't look at yellow cards for VAR unless they're upgrading it.
Yeah, no, I just think Nick Walsh got that completely wrong. He got that wrong. Some people were suggesting it was a red card. It was never a red card. It was never a yellow card.
The big red card of the weekend was Aberdeen Motherwell. Stuart Kettlewell raging after the game. It said the entire game hinged on that. It was Jack Vale who was sent off. And I think it was McKenzie.
Yeah,
that was running down the left-hand side. And it was one of those ones where Vale didn't really see him coming, and he does catch him in the midriff.
See, I disagree with you there, because I watched this over and over and over and over again in slow motion in real time, over and over again, because it's on social media, and I watched it tons of times. What I will say is this. There are particular angles of this challenge where Vale is looking. So he's looking at the ball, then he looks down at McKenzie. He's looking at the ball, and he looks down at McKenzie. You know McKenzie's going for it, because it's a cross-field pass to McKenzie, who's the wing-back. He knows McKenzie's there, and he still goes for the ball. Yes, he gets the ball, but he also takes out McKenzie. Is it dangerous, and is it a red card? I hate when this cliched line that they use, it's orange. I don't think it's a straight red, but Vale knows he's there, and he knows he's going to be clashing with him.
It's I looked at it a few times this morning, and I think it's probably a red card.
You think it's more red than yellow?
I think it's...
Is it?
I think it's harsh on the basis that he obviously doesn't mean it, but that doesn't matter.
He does see McKenzie, because he looks at him.
But I don't think he deliberately...
I mean, he still goes for the challenge knowing the player's going to be there.
I think...
It's not like it's come from a blind spot.
Yeah, I just think that...
But I still think it... The referee couldn't get his card out quick enough.
So, yeah, I was going to go on and talk about that, actually, because this is an issue, I think. And I've heard it from various players and managers and coaches over the last few years about the way that referees speak to the players in the way that they're speaking in disrespectful tones or, you know, like deliberately trying to antagonise the players or whatever. That was the accusation that Stuart Kettlewell made after the game on Saturday. And he was like, Stuart Kettlewell was fuming, absolutely fuming after the game.
The referee was very dismissive.
I think if the referee had maybe just taken a wee second, but I think, to be honest, because he catches him so high, it's a red card. I think it's harsh, but I think under the rules... It's probably a red card.
Then here's my question. If the referee looks at it again on the monitor, does he change his opinion?
No, I don't think he does.
You don't think he does?
No, I don't think he does. No. I think he does. But I mean, I do think that, like, if what Stuart Kettlewell's saying is true, and there's, you know, like the referees are being arseholes, basically, like, that's an issue. That is an issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, and I don't think that's, like, I know everyone has a sort of different style of refereeing, but, you know, you'll probably referee the game better if you're not like that. You know what
I mean? If you've got a nice manner about you and you explain things clearly,
yeah, and you're
going to get respect.
Yeah, you might not get everyone agreeing with you. Well, you definitely not get everyone agreeing with you, but you're right, you'll get respect. So
I like Don Robertson. I think he's probably my favourite referee in the SPFL. I really do. I see him speaking to players, I see him speaking to managers, and he stands by what he believes is the right decision, whether we think he's right or wrong. I've got a lot of time for Don Robertson.
I saw somebody retweeting the Scottish Cup semi, the Carter Vickers thing. I mean, it's still a ludicrous decision, even a couple of weeks later. Like, it's not a foul on Johnson either.
I'm not sure that it is as ridiculous as you
think.
It's
not a foul on Johnson, and it's a stonewall penalty. It just is. Anyway, that's by Dubai. Kilmarnock, Hearts. There was a VAR check, potential George Grant handball.
Nah.
Hands were across his body.
Yeah, fine.
What else did we get? Livingston, Ross County. A Fetty foul on Anderson.
Penalty. Every day of the week, there's contact. Good touch from Bruce Anderson in the box. A Fetty takes him out. Referee doesn't see it. VAR don't intervene. It should have been a penalty. At that time, Livingston were 1-0 up.
Also, handball on a Fetty as well.
That was the handball that was given and the right decision, because a Fetty...
Fetty had a great game on Saturday.
He actually motions his arm out to stop the pass going through. So penalty, no problem with that.
Okay, Dan McKay handball on the line after George saves.
No, not getting that.
Okay, well that's it. That is VAR done here for this week. I'll be back next week. I'm bored of VAR. I really am. I just want to bugger off.
Would you genuinely? There's a lot of talk just now because Sweden have voted against it.
Yeah, they've never had it.
No, and they had a vote on it, and they got the. So they allowed. That's what I love about Sweden, is that not only did they go to the players and the clubs, but they also got the fans involved. Because it's a collective. We're all part of the game, and without us, you don't have a product.
It's a novel idea. Involving the people who provide the most money to,
and they've listened to the fans, the club and the players, and they've said no, we do not want. And I think they're the only club of the 30 leagues in Europe, deemed to be the top leagues in Europe, have said no to VAR. So well done to Sweden.
Good on them.
If Scotland, if the SPFL came out tomorrow and says we're going to have a vote on this, we're going to chat amongst the clubs about getting rid of VAR, what do you think the decision would be? If they went to all 12 clubs in the top flight of Scottish football, do you think they'd bin it for next season? Just the clubs, forget the fans.
I'd really hope so.
I think the fans bin it. If you're to give all 12 SPFL clubs in Scotland a vote, they'd vote against it.
None of the managers want it either.
But do you think the clubs would?
Why?
Vote against it.
Why?
Would they vote against it?
Nothing would surprise me the way Scottish clubs vote for and what they vote for.
I think they'd keep it.
Yeah, I mean, probably just annoy me. Right, okay. In the bin, do we want to put something in the bin?
Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
Okay, our version of Scottish football's Room 101. We suggest something we want to put in the bin, and it's up to you to decide whether it goes in or not. We just suggest something.
Yeah.
And, like, you just have your chat on it. We don't really put our input into it. Last week, you wanted to put the nickname Jambo Bear into the bin.
Maybe not now after the songs we played earlier.
But will it go into the Scottish footballing skip? Here is some of your feedback. Paul says, I think if Rangers beat Hearts again this season, Ewan should legally change his name by default to Jambo Bear. Liam, in the bin, absolute pish patter. Johnny says, if the cap fits and all that, it stays. Paul sent us a graphic. But in yellow. He was fairly unanimous in that one. Mark says, if being called Jambo Bear really annoys you that much, just bin it. John says, I'm with you on this one. It was funny at first, but now it's getting boring. Looks like I'm in the minority, though. Mr. C says, Jambo Bear is dead. Long live Teddy Fudd. So, over 1,500 votes on this.
Oh, really? What were the percentages?
Drum roll, please. With 87.5% of the vote, Jambo Bear's not going in the bin, I'm afraid.
Fucking knew it.
The people have spoken.
Jambo Bear. That's the first thing that's ever not gone in the bin.
That's the first thing. Everything else that we've ever suggested on the show has gone in the bin.
I'm going to explain the Jambo Bear origin story, right? Which is, you said that you read Follow Follow. And you read other forums as well. But you said that you read Follow Follow.
I'm on Follow Follow quite a bit.
And I said, have you got a username? And you were like, no.
No, I'm just a guest.
I was like, well, maybe you should set one up and call yourself Jambo Bear. And that's where it came from.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't a big grand conspiracy.
No.
On my part, I think it's a bit boring as well. But your reaction to it also makes it quite funny.
The thing,
and I have said genuinely stop calling him it.
But the thing is, though, it did come about innocently because we were talking about fan forums.
Yeah.
And
I was just like, what's your username? Jambo Bear. And that's where it came from.
Like, I was Jambo through and through on Jambo's
Kickback.
And I was on Hibs.net, Celtic Minded. I was on Pie and Bovril on all the time as well, and follow. And it was just through that chat about the different fan forums, mm-hmm. and getting a flavour of what the fans say, what the fans think. And I always check them out because it's always, I think you always get a really good indicator of where the fans are in mm-hmm. regards to their thinking for the manager, the players, how the team are playing. And yeah, the biggest mistake was admitting being on follow. And then you just said, oh, username Jambo Bear, boom, there you go.
In the land of kilts and tartan, there's a bear called Jambo. He's quite enchanting.
Right. So I'm afraid the people have spoken.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a landslide. And it's probably one of the biggest votes that we've ever had as well.
It is.
And Jambo Bear is not going in the bin. I don't call you Jambo Bear.
No, you don't.
I don't call you Jambo Bear.
It's a hashtag as well now.
Yeah.
Anytime someone tweets a show, it's hashtag Jambo Bear.
Right. For the bin next week, we're going to do something a wee bit different today. So, producer John, explain what's happening here.
Right. So, you guys have your turn every week and put something in the Scottish football bin. So, we thought we'd hand it over to the podcast listeners and on to nominate something for the Scottish football podcast bin. It's Martin in Linlithgow, who's a Rangers supporter.
Is he on?
Right, how you doing?
Right. Oh, hey, Martin, how are you?
Hi, Martin, how are you?
You all right?
No bad. You guys?
Martin, see, before you give us your suggestion for putting something in the bin, has Cyril Dessers cost you the league?
Yes.
See, told you. We had this argument earlier, mate. You didn't hear it, but when you listen to the podcast later, I said that.
Do you not think, though, Martin, that defensively Rangers have been a bit suspect this season, and that's probably added to you losing the league as well? I mean, it's not lost yet, but you know what I mean.
I would say it's a mixture of both, but I'd say up top it's cost us more, because at the end of the day it's about, if you score more goals than the other team, you've won.
I was saying the amount of chances that Cyril Dessers was missing when you were 1-0 up, whether it be Ross County, whether it be Motherwell, whatever games it is where you've dropped points, where you've had a chance to go and basically put the game to bed. And when he doesn't do that, you've paid the price, and ultimately I think it'll cost you the league.
No, I agree with that 100%. To me, I get you scored, what, 19 now?
20.
20.
He's the first Rangers player to score 20 goals in a league season. Sorry, the first Rangers striker, because obviously Tavernier has scored a lot of goals, but the first Rangers striker to score 20 goals in a season since Kenny Miller 14 years ago.
Since Kenny was here, Christ. if we got the same amount of money that we bought him for, I'd have him gone. We need him in the big games, and he's not like the one that gave it Parkhead, for example, when he was clean through.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was doing. Like, if that was Kenny Miller, if that was possibly a Roof even, I think they would have buried it.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. So anyway, we're not here to talk about Cyril Dessers. You want to nominate something for the Scottish football bin. What do you want to put in it?
So the suggestion was the playoff final two legs.
Ooh.
So, I like that.
Yeah, so just having like a big grand final sort of thing like they do down south.
Yeah, so I hate comparing it to down south, but So the semi-finals, yep, two legs, great. But the final should always be, right, you've got one game, you're going to be relegated, or are you going to be promoted?
Yeah, I like
and
that.
I get that you can't really have the final at Hampden, let's be honest. Either have it at Tynecastle, or just the road, or depending on what team it is, Livingston if they're still about.
Yeah. Or, no, you could have it like Tannadice or, you know, I totally get what you're saying here. Yeah, 100%.
Depending on where the games are from. But so, I just feel like the two legs, it's not exciting. Yeah. I don't get excited for it.
I mean, I think, I'm completely behind this, but the reason it will not be like that, and the reason that it's designed like that, particularly for the Premiership Championship playoff, it's just to give the Premiership team another chance.
It's weighted in favour of them, isn't
it? It's already weighted in favour of them because, you know, like say Airdrie get to the playoff final, they'll have to play six games to get to the Premiership.
Yeah.
Whereas the team that finishes 11th only has to beat a Championship side who have already played four games.
So you're right in what you're saying, but I think in regards to do we put that in the Scottish football bin, 100% with you. And I think you'll find that everybody would agree with you, my friend, because the idea of having one big final to decide who gets promoted, a bit like the Championship in League One and League Two down south, would be a brilliant watch and far more exciting than the two-legged final. So I'm with you on this one.
Okay, right. So, Martin, you got anything else to add to back up your case?
I mean, you could have a trophy at the end of it.
Aye.
You know, the Championship. And again, it's a better day out and better memories to me instead of two legs.
Agreed.
Okay.
That's right. A brilliant idea. I haven't even thought of that. That's brilliant.
So, binning playoff two-legged finals.
Yes.
That is this week's Scottish Football in the Bin. Martin from Linlithgow, thank you very much for being on the Big Scottish Football Podcast and enjoy the rest of your day, mate. Cheers, pal.
Cheers, lads. Have a good one.
Bye-bye. You too, mate. Cheers, mate. That's Martin there in Linlithgow. I was in Linlithgow just the other day there.
I think Linlithgow is a lovely place.
It's a lovely wee town. It really is. I was there the other day there buying... There's a pet store in the little retail-y part across the road from Sainsbury's.
Mm-hmm.
What's the pet
Pets
store?
Pets at Home?
Yes. You don't even have a pet and you remembered. Yeah, Pets at Home. I was in there the other day there and I bought Harley a squeaky toy.
Mm-hmm. I like Linlithgow. There was a house up for sale in Linlithgow.
It's expensive.
It is quite expensive, but this house needed quite a bit of work and it was also on a street called Strawberry Bank.
On its name.
So it was it's right beside the railway track and yes. There's like a wall yes. And then the street behind yes. It.
Do you know Donald McLeod lives in Linlithgow? He's got a big house in Linlithgow.
Oh, does he?
He does, yes.
He owns the Garage Nightclub in Glasgow, just in case you don't know who Donald McLeod is.
Friend of the show.
He's
a big Celtic fan as well.
Yes. Right, let's make another phone call.
We've got Jose.
By the way, I should say, Jose, you'll be able to vote on Martin's Jose. Suggestion on our socials at Big Football Scott.
Yes.
So it's playoff finals. Two-legged playoff finals in the bin or not, it's up to you. Let's give Jose a wee call, shall we? We've not spoken to him in ages. Or did we speak to him last week?
No, because he just rang out. Remember it rang out last week?
Didn't we are quite late. We are quite late this week.
Hello?
Jose! How are you doing? You okay?
Oh, Jose! Yep. I was... we follow each other on Facebook... He's laughing because he knows what I'm about to say.
Right, okay.
There's a video of Jose Katongo dancing and enjoying the single life, and he talks about how he's happy not to be with anybody and he loves being single, and there's a wee dance of him in the mirror.
Oh, really?
Aye.
Yeah. No, it's true. No, it's just, you know what I mean, you and I'm just happy with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's great.
So what song were you dancing to?
It's just it's African music. I have a good rhythm.
Yes. Right, okay.
Yeah, make you jump. It's good.
Yeah, and do you know what, Jose? You've got rhythm, my friend. You can shake those hips and that booty.
Thank you, my man. You're the man.
I am the man.
We knew that, though, because you were like that running down the wing, Jose. Oh, we knew you had rhythm, yeah. So that's fine. Where are you off to? Are you off to anywhere exciting?
No, yes, I was in the gym.
He's in the gym.
He's in the gym.
All right, but listen, the line's not great, but thank you for the entertainment on that video. That was brilliant, mate. Keep dancing, keep smiling. Love you.
I love you. Thank you.
Bye. Bye.
Cheers,
bud.
Jose, Jose, Jose. Jose, Jose.
Okay, it is time to move on to Scottish football's greater, more solid, hardest question. And it is, what's the connection between Father Dougal Maguire and Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline? Derek says, is it they've all beaten Ewan in a quiz?
Logan says, does it have anything to do with Mikel Antoine Cure, as he's played for all four? Joke the Coleman says, Mikel Antoine Cure has played for all these teams and is from the island of Guadeloupe. Father Dougal is from Craggy Island, so is it islands that connects them? Key McLeod, is it all four clubs that are mentioned in Father Ted, the series? I know you're making your way through Father Ted. Expat says they're all quite funny, which I think is, well, that would be a great answer. But unfortunately, that's subjective, and this is a fact. I can tell you that nobody has it right this week.
Has anyone got it close? That's a yes. That's a yes. That's a yes. Take that as a yes. Look at his face. For those of you on YouTube, and for those of you who are listening on Spotify or Apple Music, his face would suggest that something that was said there is close to the actual fact that he needs to get the answer right.
It needs to be what I have written down in this.
There somebody's close. I'm telling you now, somebody's close with what they're sent in.
Signed and sealed. So there you go. Get your shouts in. What's the connection between Father Dougal Maguire and Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline? That is Scottish football's more harder, solid question. And that means we are ready for the quiz, ladies and gentlemen. Right, John, run me through the format here, because how are we doing this? I thought we were just going back to normal. Or are we doing what we did last
week? No, because Ewan dropped it this morning that he's not done his homework and researched Father Ted. So I've only got five football questions.
That's fine.
Okay, so but they're the same questions for both of us.
Yes.
So
we'll write them down.
Right, just so everyone's clear now, we're not doing top bin, are we?
No top bin.
Not when we get the same questions.
I've written top bin questions just in case.
No,
we're happy with top bin. No. Just a straight shootout.
Yeah. Fascinating to know what your top bin question was for Father Ted, by the way.
It's a good one.
Keep that. That'll come. So wait. Just to clarify what we agreed at the start of the podcast. So I'm not ready yet or comfortable enough yet to take on the Father Ted questions, and that will come in time.
Yeah.
And because I'm not ready for that, you have five questions on football that Steve and I are both going to get, and we're going to write down our answers to the questions that you give us, and whoever wins after the five questions wins the point.
Yes.
Right.
Good.
But we are starting all square at 0-0. Right. It's a bit like the playoffs, and this is a Super Bowl. This is a Super Bowl final until the end of the season.
Okay, Ewan. I'm glad you've clarified.
So we're at 0-0, Super Bowl final for the next 4 weeks.
Okay, okay. Right, no problem. Okay, then without further ado, let's crack on with the quiz then, shall we?
I'd love if I won the Super Bowl.
You've both got pen and paper in front of you,
so you can get
the answer. Okay, first question up for you both.
Go on.
What club links Duncan Shearer, Barry Robson, and Bobby Mann? What club links Duncan Shearer, Barry Robson, and Bobby Mann?
I'm ready. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to go first? Same time?
John, you count us in.
3, 2, 1.
Inverness.
Inverness.
Both right. 1-1.
Bobby Mann.
What a player Bobby Mann is.
A unit.
I don't remember him.
Oh, he was huge.
Him and who was it? Ross Tokley as well.
Ross Tokley, I remember him.
Ross Tokley only retired this season, by the way.
He must have been about 50.
I know.
Was Bobby Mann and Tokley at the same time?
They played in that. They played Dunfermline in the Scottish Cup semi-final in 2004. And we needed a replay to get past them, and they had a guy up front. I think his name was Paul Ritchie.
Yes.
Scored a header in the first leg at Hampden, and he was just one of these guys who was like, he was huge.
Right.
He was a huge guy, total handful. And then they had Bobby Mann, they had Tokley, Stuart Golabek.
Classic, just absolute
classic. John Robertson was the manager. Right.
Question number two. Question number two. In what season did James Forrest make his debut for Celtic? And what season did James Forrest make his debut?
Can I just give you a single year? Does it have to be the season, like 20?
Yeah, you can give me a single year or the season it's from. Okay. Time starts now.
How old is he?
No clues.
So, go and give me the question again, mate.
In what season did James Forrest make his debut for Celtic?
I mean, he's won so much.
You're a Celtic cheerleader, Stephen. You should know this.
I'm with him.
Right, I'm ready.
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go for... Oh,
is that too... Wait. Is that too early? Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with
that. I'm sticking with that.
Right, okay. We've got answers, John.
Okay, no problem. Right, boys. Unveil your answers.
What'd you go with?
2006.
2006? Nah, that's way too early. I went 2012.
Nah, that's too late.
A Marshall has saved!
None of you are right.
Yes!
It was 2010, somewhere in the middle. 2009-2010 season that James Forrest made his debut. 1-1.
Bugger.
There we go. Question number three in the shootouts.
Yeah.
Texo are the shirt sponsors of which Scottish team?
Got it. I've got it.
Shut up.
I've got it. I've written it down.
Texo.
Even before you press the button for the timer, I'd written down my answer because I'm on fire. UN's on fire. UN's on fire. He's about to take the lead by 2 points to one. It's the Super Bowl final for the next 4 weeks. Get it right up,
Stephen.
Right, I genuinely don't know, but I'm making an educated guess.
Okay, you got an answer?
Yeah.
You happy?
Well, based on your reaction, I think it's a team in the Premiership. And I think it's a team that probably played yesterday. And it's not Celtic and Rangers. So it's either going to be...
You both got an answer.
It's either going to be St Mirren or Dundee.
I've got an answer.
And I've gone for...
What have you gone for?
Dundee.
You've written Dundee.
I went with Aberdeen.
One of you is correct.
Oh.
Ewan, what did you go for?
Aberdeen.
Yes! Get it! Woohoo!
2-1.
Super Bowl final!
You win.
Boo!
Right. Next question.
2-1 up. What question is this? Question number four?
Question number four. What is the nickname of Edinburgh City?
Ah, for fuck's sake.
What is the nickname of Edinburgh City?
Pish. Would they get away with pish? You should know this, Stephen. You're into all the shitty wee teams.
All right, I think I've got an answer.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it's right, though. I'm not confident on this one at all. You writing anything down?
Nah, I've not got a clue, mate.
Just guess on, then.
Edinburgh City.
If I've got this right, I don't know where I've pulled this from.
Right, I've written down an answer.
Right, you've both got answers.
I haven't got a clue. Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, please, you need to get this wrong. Please get this wrong.
Right. I think they're called the Citizens. Oh.
Stephen has written the Citizens. Ewan, have you written anything?
Yeah, I've written the Capital Boys.
I think that's a club in Edinburgh, Ewan. Right, okay.
I've not got a clue.
Stephen, what did you say?
The Citizens.
Oh my god! How did he get that?
I don't know where I pulled that from. I don't know where
I
pulled that.
Your face says to me you haven't got a clue how you got that. Where did that come from?
Somewhere.
Oh,
somewhere.
You pulled out of a file somewhere in your head.
Oh, right, it all comes down to this.
Do you know what I think it is? Because Edinburgh City are obviously, like, shite. And Man City, they're the Citizens. Like, that's one of their nicknames, the Citizens. And I remember thinking, oh, Man City, Edinburgh City. And I don't know.
Just somewhere. Oh, no, it's 2-2 with the final question.
Right.
You had it in your grasp.
Oh, no! The Capital Boys, what the fuck?
you would never have guessed the Citizens.
No.
Right, okay then, boys. It comes down to this question. And if not, we go to a tie break.
Okay.
Right. Twist and Shout is the unofficial anthem of which Scottish Premiership club.
Oh, he's writing the dude already? Don't look!
Is the unofficial anthem of which Scottish Premiership club?
A Premiership club, unofficial anthem, Twist and Shout.
We're shaking a baby now.
Shake it on baby. Twist and Shout. Oh, for fuck's sake. I'm going to lose this quiz. I'm going to go fucking raging.
Come on, Ewan.
Did you write an answer?
Yeah, I've got my answer.
Oh, fuck.
I've got the correct answer, so you need to get this. Otherwise, I've won the quiz.
I've written an answer down.
You written an answer down?
Yeah.
You happy with it?
No. Of course I'm not fucking happy with it, because I don't know the fucking answer.
You show yours first, I showed mine first last time. You go first.
Oh, God, this is...
Show your answer, Ewan.
Right, I have gone for...
St Mirren.
St Mirren.
Right.
Stephen, what have you gone for?
Stephen has gone for the correct answer, which is Motherwell.
Oh, God. Tell me it's not Motherwell.
Stephen.
Tell me it's not Motherwell.
You had it, and you shat it. You threw it away. I've won the quiz again. I say you threw it away. I actually was amazing there. That was amazing. A great performance. And I've won again. So in this playoff Super Bowl series, I take the lead. If we were counting the real quiz.
No, it's not. We're not. That's gone.
It'd be about 35-0 or something. But despite Ewan trying to change the rules, bend them...
No,
to make
not,
him suit him.
It's not.
He's still lost.
No, why are you talking so much shite? I never said that.
You changed the quiz
anything.
On a weekly basis.
No, we started from scratch. That's fair enough. You've won.
You've changed the format.
Let's lose graciously. Let's win graciously.
Oh.
Let's win graciously. It's your shit chat that winds me up.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Because listen, look at the way that you act. Look at your face.
What about losing graciously?
The words that
you
come
storm
out,
off with your wee bag.
The words that come out your mouth.
You storm
pathetic.
Off with your wee
it's
bag.
Pathetic.
And you slam
you
your
get
headphones
more gracious
down.
When you fucking win your prick. I'm away to shave my balls.
Okay. Happy shaving. Make sure you don't...
Shut up.
Nick yourself. Right. That has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Another great episode. Thank you very much for everyone who got in touch. Thanks to Jose. Thanks to Martin from Lithgow, who has nominated playoff two-legged finals for Scottish football in the bin. And I won the quiz again. So it's been great. Thank you very much for listening. Get all your shouts in at Big Football Scott. And you can leave your comments on YouTube as well. Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the night, every single night this week. Obviously taking your calls from 6 o'clock on Clyde One. Me and Ewan are back with the Big Scottish Football Show, Big Saturday Football Show, this coming Saturday from 2 o'clock as well. And have a great week, everyone. We'll catch you next time. Cheerie bye.